You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com. So we're going to dig right into Scripture, Book of Titus, a new teaching series. So excited to share this with you. Listen to what the Word of God says this morning. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Well, the year was 461 BC, and the Roman Empire was really beginning to take shape. And unsurprisingly, there were two distinct categories of people that existed in the Roman Empire in that time. You had a group of poor folks, commoners, and then obviously you had a group of wealthy folks, and they were the nobility in the Roman Empire. And the poorer folks were really concerned about how do we hold in check the power of the wealthy nobility. And so this obviously created some tensions within the culture, and one of the wealthy noble families, in fact, a general in the Roman army, his son decided to lash out, violently opposing this call by the commoners, and killed one of the commoners' children. In the midst of the trial, the nobleman's son decided to flee and go to another country. And so the Roman Empire had to exact some kind of justice. They decided, at the end of the day, the way to handle this was, if the son ever returned to Rome, he would be immediately executed, and the general, the nobleman, he would be relieved of his military command. He would lose his wealth, his status, his power, and be forced to farm for the rest of his life. And then one day, foreign invaders were on their doorstep, and the army came calling and said to the general, "Will you lead the army in battle once again?" I mean, what would you do? You put yourself in a situation like that after somebody had taken away your wealth, your status, your power, your position, and now all of a sudden they want your help. Is your likelihood going to be real high to just jump right in and, hey, let's get going? Of course not. You've been in situations like that. You've been harmed by another person. Am I really going to jump in? Am I going to engage with this person again? It's a question of character. Character. What's on the inside? What will you do when nobody's watching or when the whole world is watching? What will you do when it's easy or when it's really hard? And this teaching series from the book of Titus is about giving the Holy Spirit all kinds of space and room in our lives to do a bit of character building. In fact, at the very beginning of this letter, Paul says to Titus, "You're my true child," say it with me, true. True child in a common faith. Another way that we might translate it is to say genuine, legitimate. Titus, you're a legitimate son or daughter of God. And we are true, legitimate sons and daughters of God when we by faith say God is our Father, when we by faith trust in Jesus Christ the Son to save us from our sins, when we by faith trust the Holy Spirit to begin to change our character and to change us from the inside out, so we become more like Jesus, so we would live like he did, so we would think like he does, so we would act like he does, so we would talk like he does, so we would be able to love our enemies and our neighbors and everybody in between. And this struggle of character is really the crux of the issue in this letter to Titus. You see, at the time, there were all kinds of corrupt leaders who were living on the island of Crete, and they were money hungry. The leaders of the church were money hungry. And in the process, they decided to abandon the teachings of Jesus, and instead they became very legalistic. They said, hey, you know, you've got to get special surgery if you're a guy. Do we know what we're talking about here? And here's all kinds of other things that you have to do to be okay, to be part of the kingdom, to be a part of the church. You have to follow all of these legalistic commands. And this Titus guy, this guy who Paul says has come to lead the church, he's got no authority because he's a person of low character. He's got no character. And the way that they went about it is common to our culture today. We call it an ad hominem attack. Ad hominem quite literally meaning to the man. Rather than discuss the merit of ideas, you simply try to discredit the ethos or the character of the person. You go, I don't know anything about ad hominem attacks. Yes, you do. You see them all of the time on TV from political people attacking one another. That's an ad hominem attack. Rather than attack the merit of the ideas, let's just attack the character of the person. Well, he's got, did you see what that guy did? Did you see what he said? Do you know what she did? Do you realize who she voted for? So if you can just discredit the character of a person, well, it doesn't mean that the ideas have any merit. And quite similarly, the point was, Titus, no character. Come on, we're the leaders of the church, not this guy. He's nobody. And that's why Paul says, and this is a lesson for all of us, if you want to share the gospel, if you want to change the world, you've got to have legit, genuine, true character. And here's the thing. Everybody's watching. Are you going to always get it right? Nope. In fact, sometimes, here's the lesson, sometimes you're going to make tough calls that you know are the right thing, and everybody else is going to hate it. And you're going to have to just sit in it and go, you know what, this is the right call because it's the right call. Legit, genuine, true character. Here's the question I want to start off with this series with. What character defect or flaw in your life might be diminishing your witness for Christ? What's the character defect or flaw diminishing your witness for Christ? If somebody were to throw a political ad about you on TV, what would they say? Let's take a moment, we'll reflect on that. All right, did you find one? Do we need to pray again? I mean, yeah, guilty as charged, right? I imagine if we were to look deep within our hearts, we'd find something there. Something that the Holy Spirit has room to work on in our lives. Now, here's the thing. Before you go making plans to change your defects and let's start another New Year's resolution, I want you to realize your character comes from a deeper work that God wants to do in your heart and your mind and your life. And Titus, this is what he experienced. Titus experienced a radical shift, a radical transformation, better said, in his character. He grew up the son of a Greek nobleman, and when Jesus Christ came into his life, it changed everything about him. Titus would have been halfway decently connected. He would have navigated the world according to the system of the Greek gods. And now all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in his life, and now everything has changed. Instead of there being multiple gods and I got to figure out how to appease each one, there's one God. He's created all things. He forgives people of sin. He's come in flesh and blood. He's raised from the dead. And it requires that I lay down everything and take up my cross and follow him. It means my status, the power that I've got, whatever it is that I considered so near and dear before, it's rubbish. It's rubbish compared to knowing Christ and following him. And so Titus, he undertakes this journey of following Jesus. In fact, he meets and experiences salvation, most likely at Antioch, they think, the place that Christians were first called Christians. And then he would follow Paul as Paul followed Christ. They followed Christ together, probably better said, all the way to Jerusalem, to Corinth, to Galatia, to Crete. And the cool part about it is that I sort of picture Titus's life having changed both in a moment and then over a lifetime. You experience the same kind of thing in your life? Our lives tend to change in a moment and then over a lifetime. And maybe we might say it like this: we're saved from sin and death in a moment. This is what we call justifying grace. But we gain the character of Christ throughout the rest of our lives over a lifetime. This is sanctifying grace. So Titus experiences the grace of God. He's forgiven of his sins. He recognizes his life is for a different purpose. And then as he goes to Jerusalem and to Corinth and to Galatia and to Crete, he realizes God is going to continue to do a work in his life to bring about the character of Christ. We're saved in a moment, but we gain the character of Christ throughout the rest of our lives. We're wired to want this. Even if you don't think it, you're wired to want it. And here's how I know it's true. How many people get inspired by stories of selfless kinds of strangers? People who are willing to lay down their lives for somebody they don't know. People who are willing to have their lives completely upended to help another person. How many people are inspired when they hear a story of somebody who decides, you know what, I had this great career or this great life or this great whatever, and I decided because God had this purpose that was bigger than me or bigger than I thought, I decided I'm going to put all of that to the side and go do this thing. And you go, man, I want to do that. Ever felt that way? We're wired for it. We desire it. And the beauty is, God is ready to deliver on it. The Spirit is ready to develop it within us. That's the witness of Scripture this morning. Look at what the Scriptures say again from Titus 1:1-3. Paul, the guy who hated the church, Paul, the guy who persecuted the church, Paul, the guy who said that Jesus is not the Messiah, is not the Savior, does not forgive people of sins. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle, a messenger of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect, that is the Christian gospel, and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, a character element, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, because God can't lie, it's part of his character, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted. It's my calling now. By the command of God, our Savior. Paul had been so radically changed on the basis of what Jesus did in his life. And it started in a moment on the road to Damascus where he falls before Jesus and says, who are you? And Jesus says, well, I'm the one that you're persecuting. Goofball. It's in there in the Greek somewhere. And then as Paul begins to follow Jesus, his life begins to change all the more. His character begins to change all the more. Same thing for us. Same thing for Titus. The character transformation, the beautiful part about it is, it's not just for ourselves, it's for the sake of the whole world. This is what Christ in you, the hope of glory, is all about. You're not saved just so you can beat on your chest like it's Saturday NCAA football and go, man, I'm great. You're saved so you can point and say, man, God is great. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was broken, but now I'm whole. I felt like a ship without a rudder, and now I've got a purpose. Every character transformation for your life, God will use in your life for what's to come. I guarantee you. This is exactly what God did in Titus's life for the island of Crete. Why would you say that? Because Crete was not a great place. In fact, Crete, if you were a Methodist preacher, Crete would be the kind of place that if you got that as an appointment at annual conference, all of the older preachers, they would say, oh, they got a good parsonage there, and that's how you know you're dead. Oh, they got a good, it's like, oh, good, where do I sign? Oh, Crete, I'll be praying for you, brother. And then they walk away really fast like you've got leprosy or something. This is Crete. In fact, it was said about Crete that Crete was a place full of liars, evil brutes, lazy people, traitors, and mercenaries. Who's ready to sign up? And that's where Titus is headed. In fact, the slang term to Cretanize came about in Paul's day. And Paul said of the Cretans this later in the letter. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. I think that's hysterical. I don't know about you, but I mean, outside the town of... Anyway. Who says the scriptures aren't fun? Yeah, and so Titus, this guy of true character, who was truly legit, he was sent forth for the truth that was needed at Crete. God has changed his life. And so now the grace and love of God, which was operative in his heart, it was going to be used for the masses on the island of Crete. Not for Titus to be great, but for God to be great. Oh, here's why this matters. When you look at our culture today, and you think about the culture on Crete, what's different? Not much, is there? Not much. In fact, I think we got a taste of that this past week. Do you see this picture? It's been everywhere. I think about a Minnesota shooting. And when you think about the culture that we live in that's brutal, and there's plenty of lying and greed and just mercenaries that look different, I don't think there's that much difference. And here's the thing. Our culture today, it has a black hole of talking heads. And all they'll tell you is, there's no hope. It's going out. It's going to be fine, I promise you. There's no hope. They'll offer you plenty of critiques. They'll say, you know, damn your thoughts and prayers, and all of that kind of stuff, but they offer nothing. And what the Christian message is, what the message of the gospel is that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make dead people alive. People who are spiritually dead, people who are physically dead. He came to make dead people alive. And the beautiful thing is, our lives, they change in a moment. And then as we really begin to follow Jesus, and we realize that we're not our own, that we're called to something greater, that we're really called to do this whole take up your cross and follow me, and lay down your life for your friends. We're willing, like this unknown mother, to whip off our shoes and run into the fight rather than from it. This doesn't happen, wherever the picture went, without the gospel. It doesn't happen. We're called higher in the name of Jesus to make his name great and to tell the world, yes, Jesus loves you where you are, but man, he loves you way too much to leave you where you were. Somewhere along the way, we've forgotten this. And the gospel became more about punching a ticket to heaven than it is the Christian life. Jesus cares about your character. He cares about you being transformed. And look, thank God for heaven. But let me help you with this. Heaven is a byproduct of the Christian faith. The goal is to become like Christ. We're called to gain the character of Christ, not a membership card to heaven. And in the end, we're all going to have a moment like that mother did in Minnesota, or like Titus did, or like that Roman nobleman father whose son ran away. We'll have a moment where we find our own Crete. And in that moment, we're going to have to decide what the character of Christ is within us. What I love about that Roman nobleman father was when the army came calling, he reported to the Senate, left for the battle, won the war, negotiated a peaceful surrender of the enemy. And whereas the people wanted to exalt him as the leader over the city, 15 days later, he resigned his command. It didn't just happen once, it happened twice. The second time, he resigned his command after 21 days. That's character. That's the stuff of legend, the stuff that's legitimate. And we live in this Cretan world, friends. It's in need of Christians who have the legit character of Christ. And today I ask a simple question of you: where are you lacking that? Where do you lack the character of Christ? Where do you need to grow? What's incomplete in your life? Where do you lack faith? What grudges do you hold? Where are you resisting the work of the Holy Spirit? I believe today's a new day and a new season in all of our lives because God loves us where we are, but too much to leave us where we were. And you might have invited Jesus to come and save you from your sins. The question I really want you to drive at in this series is, have you invited the Holy Spirit to begin to change your life? So we're going to enter into a time of communion. I want you to know that we have a prayer team that would love to pray for you about anything that you so desire. And my hope for you is this, that in the midst of these upcoming weeks, or today, you would let the Holy Spirit in and begin to change you from the inside out. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that your character is the ultimate model and example for us. You died on a cross, you rose again on the third day, and you did this to change our lives in a moment and then over the course of a lifetime. And God, we may not be able to see it or hear it or feel it or explain it in all of its entirety, but we know that somewhere deep within we long for the character of Jesus in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and search us and know us, to come and change our hearts and our minds and our lives, that we might bleed and sweat and die for what Jesus does, that you might bring about a transformation of our character, that you would change us from the inside out. Be at work in us, that you might be at work through us to change the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.